Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Welcome to Dare to Win. This is the place where we have a sobering discussion about the imperative for Black people to take control of the economics of our community. Our topic tonight, what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? Stay with us. Good evening, and once again, welcome. Welcome to Dare to Win. Yes, we are the drum, calling our people to self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Dare to Win. This is the place where a sobering discussion about the imperative for Black people to take control of the economics of our community can be held. An exact methodology on building the economic machinery via a global cooperative family-centered economic model and how to pass it forward to future generations. Again, our topic this evening is what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? And we'll be moving on to address that subject shortly. Just want to once again say to us that to join the conversation, please dial 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And then press the number 1 on your keypad if you want to make a comment or to ask a question. Now, if you want to join us via your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com, and click the Ulu Radio tab. Then click on Listen Live to join us. My name is Sister Nanana, and I will be your host for this evening's discussion of what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits. And leading us through that topic this evening, we have the privilege of having Baba Hakima Kenyama with us. Baba Hakima is one of the original founding members of Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, LLC, and he currently serves as elder advisor to the board of Us Lifting Us. So, Baba Hakima, would you like to say a few words to greet our audience?
Yes, certainly. Hey, family. Hey, it's really a treat to be with the family again. And from time to time, I want to stick my head in the door. But we are family, and we're going to be talking about that this evening. And I know brothers and sisters around the U.S. and around the globe are experiencing some strange and in some cases some troubling times. And like no other time, we certainly need to pull together, stay together, and support each other. And I'm looking forward to our discussion this evening about our economic empowerment model, and to get into some detail and some clarification of exactly what it is, and as you mentioned, how it benefits us. So I'm grateful for being with the family and with you, Sister Nanana.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Baba Hakima. Believe me, the pleasure is all mine. And we really would like you to do more than just stick your head in the door. We truly treasure your contributions to the growth and the continued development and stability of Us Lifting Us, and we look forward, truly, truly look forward to having your guidance and your input. So with that said, let's go right ahead and start to unpack this subject and see what the piece parts look like. This is, what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? So Baba Hakima, please get us started. Share with us what is meant by family-centered economics, and help us out a bit with where this term comes from.
Well, thank you, sis. As many of our listeners know and have experienced, starting in 1966, we began to celebrate Kwanzaa. And it started here in the U.S., but it spread around the world. I'm not sure how many people observe Kwanzaa yearly. I would think upwards of 20 million, again, around the world. And since 1956, we have together celebrated the Kwanzaa principles, the Nguzo Saba. And one of the observances is on the fourth night, and it's Ujamaa, and loosely defined as cooperative economics. And, of course, in our homes, we sit around with the elders and with the children, and we have lively discussions about all of the principles, but in particular this principle as it relates to economics. And I think most of us know that economics is fundamental to the welfare of any community. It's essentially how people meet their fundamental basic needs, both individually and the collective. And as a part of Kwanzaa and the fourth day of the celebration, we generally looked at Ujamaa as cooperative economics. And we've used the term all from day one in Us Lifting Us, but we found it necessary to be a little bit more specific in terms of what we meant by cooperative economics, because sometimes we can look at terms and depending on who you are and where you are, it means something different to different people. And we thought it fitting that we would kind of redefine Ujamaa from the Us Lifting Us perspective, and in that effort to be clearer, we redefine Ujamaa as family-centered economics. And, of course, Ujamaa is a key Swahili word, and in the 60s and Kwanzaa itself is thankful for the movement of the Tanzanian people under leadership of Julius Nyerere and the brothers and sisters who were a part of that movement. And they used the term Ujamaa as well. And they generally defined it as familyhood that created an economy. So they use family in their definition of cooperative economics as well. And what we wanted to do is to define an economics that was in contrast to the way we generally look at economics, at least in the West, and for the most part on the planet today, since the West is in control, their form of economics is generally, you could define it as individually centered economics. And so we thought it fit in that we began to think of and engineer an economic model and structure and practice that was not centered on the individual but was centered on the group. And, of course, we very often refer to the group as the family. So in short, that's what we mean, and it comes from our practice of Ujamaa, primarily the word around Kwanzaa time. But there are groups in America and possibly around the world who practice what they call circular Kwanzaa. In other words, they practice it every week. And so the fourth day of every week is Ujamaa. And but, of course, even in our culture in this part of the world, we know that some of the tendencies and practices in the communities, whether they be in the city and in the rural, focus more on the family, the village, the clan, more so than in other cultures that focus primarily on the individual. So hopefully that gets us started with family-centered economics as in opposition or as opposed to what might be called individually-centered economics.
Well, I can really appreciate what you're saying, Baba Hakima, and thank you for the detail connecting family-centered economics to the whole concept of community and how it came out of the Kwanzaa principles and explaining Ujamaa. That, to me, that helps to give more foundation to it. And it sounds to me that what we're talking about is we're talking about our community. When we say family-centered, we're talking about people who look like us, that we would consider to be in that community of people who are Black African descended. And I think it's important to bring that point of clarity in as well. And that's what's resonating with me.
Well,
at
it resonates. Yeah, it resonates
mm-hmm.
with me as well, because we don't want to be casual. We want to be specific and clear about who we're talking about. And sometimes it seems that we get fuzzy, but we're talking about people who identify with the red, black, and the green, blues people, jazz people, down home people, whatever we may call those of us who came to the West based on the slave trade, and those of us who came on vessels before that or found their way to the West otherwise, but our people on the planet as well, our brothers and sisters in Europe and in Asia. But the world is not confused, and we should not be confused when we talk about black people, African people, and in Ulu, of course, we say black African people. We want to be very, very clear about who we're talking about. And one of the things that sometimes we run away from, but there is power in being clear about who you are. That's not to say that you discount any other people. But if you're not clear about your identity, then it's hard to know where to build, where to start your building. And, of course, not only are we talking about cooperative economics and family-centered economics, but ultimately we know that historically we are people who have been dominated and exploited and who are in need of particular care and redress. And so we definitely want to commit our attention, our energy, and our resources to strengthening our community. And when you say our, and I agree with you, we want to be clear about who we're talking about. We're talking about, we're talking about the brothers and sisters. And, again, that's no slight on any other people. And I think any self-defined group has the same responsibility, that is to do what is in the interest of the group. Now, you do that in concert with other people, and not just other people, but other creatures and the planet itself. But we want to be clear that we're building an economic empire for our people. And we think it a crime if we're not clear. And if you're not clear very often, you don't channel your resources for the greater good of the people. And so I agree.
For sure. For sure. Thank you. Thank you so much. We need not be shy about that, for sure. So, let's take it another step further. And you've been talking about Ujamaa. So how does Ujamaa or family-centered economics, how does that relate to the other economic models that are out there? I know you mentioned the family-centered and versus the individually-centered, but are there any other aspects that we need to look at or be aware of?
Well, of course, in Ulu, we have a 22 or 23-page operating agreement that lays out our system. We have a 4-page values and ethics document that goes at it from a different angle in terms of culture and values and ethics. but I think most of us know who live in the West or wherever we live, we've been impacted by the West and its dominant economic system that's based on individually centered economics, or what we would call capitalism or monopoly capitalism. And it's known by other terms, vampire capitalism, predatory capitalism, but essentially a form of economics that reduces everyone to a commodity if they can, and it promotes rugged individualism, private ownership of property and the means of production, and it's the kind of economics that would have, in fact, reduced our people, to commodities, and that's what we mean by chattel slavery. Chattel is property, movable property, property that you buy and sell and trade and list on balance sheets. And so we know that that kind of economic system is dominant in the world. And we know that there have been attempts to bring about other models that in general might be called socialism, in the extreme might be called capitalism. These are systems where the state takes a more dominant role in the economic life of the community. And in some cases, it's only the state that controls the economic life of the nation state. And in rare situations, or either one of them pure. Even in the capitalistic system, there are models of cooperation or co-ops. And in the socialist systems, even in the communist systems, there are certain experiments with entrepreneurship and private ownership. What we in ULU seek to do with family-centered economics, we don't want to be a part of any of the poles. We don't want to be in the camp of predatory economics, and we certainly don't want to be in the camp of purely state-controlled economics as well. And so what we are doing is fashioning or growing a system that's somewhere in between that focuses on what is good for the group, for the clan, for the family, extended family, and could survive wherever it found itself nestled underneath or in the wake of other economies. We could find family-centered cooperative economics successful in America, successful in China, successful in South Korea or North Korea, wherever the people found themselves. And at its ultimate height or growth, it could possibly replace these other systems. We look at it now as us growing an alternative economic model. Again, as it matures, we are hopeful, and our design is that it will be big enough and strong enough to become the dominant mode of economic activity. That would, and I may have missed part of the question, but that would be my fairly quick answer, but not being so quick.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a deep subject. It's a deep subject, and I judge that it challenges, let me put it this way, it challenges me to really start to look very deeply at the whole subject of economics and the whole arena of what's happening on the world scale and how we as a people have been impacted by having been, as you said, we are a commodity, and capitalism reduces every single human being is reduced to being a commodity. And if you're a commodity, you can be bought and sold on the market. So lots of food for thought. I just want to take a moment to say The number to join the conversation is 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And our subject this evening is, what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? And our guest this evening is Baba Hakima Kenyama, Senior Advisor for Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. So, all right.
Could I say something about that?
Sure.
We just talked about before we move on. One of the things that global commerce as practiced by the British, the French, the Spanish, the Portuguese, and other cultures, African people have been scattered far and wide. Recently, we saw some of the communities of Africans in China being discriminated against and persecuted. We know we have at least one member, Ulu member, in South Korea, and I don't know that we have but one. But we can have Ulu members anywhere on the planet. And what we strive to do and what we want to engineer is a practice among Ulu members where they can become an Ulu family and practice Ujamaa wherever they are. If that's London, if that's in Ghana, if that's in South Africa or South Korea or China or Belize, wherever they are. And I think it's important to understand that our strength is not only coming from the fact that we occupy the most minerally rich, people rich, spiritually rich continent on the planet, but the sons and daughters of Africa are scattered and fragmented throughout, and we can see ourselves becoming effective and efficient practitioners of Ujamaa wherever we are, and joining with each other and drawing inspiration from the continent of Africa and the things that we do there. But we do want to perfect family-centered economics so that it lives with us, it's carried with us, and wherever we are in community with other African people, and in particular other Ulu members, we are clear about our practice and our support and love and affinity for each other, such that our basic instincts are to trade with each other, to support each other, to protect each other, to affirm each other, and help us not only survive but thrive in whatever economic environment we find ourselves in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for those words of wisdom, Baba Hakima, for sure. All right. Yeah, and let's maybe take one more piece of this subject, and after that we're going to take a short break and then come back and talk a little bit more. But before we take our break, share with us your thought on, and this may sound very simplistic, but why do we need this particular economic model? You know, just really at the very base and foundational gut level, why do we need to be practicing family-centered economics?
Yeah, that's really important, and it's fundamental to why we're on the air, why
mm-hmm.
we exist, why African people are involved in struggle. Period. The need is so that the family is secure and is protected. And so essentially, we want to be we want a high level of security and welfare for ourselves as an individual, as families, and as communities. And the quality of the life of any people is a good part determined by the economics of that community. At any time in history, and so we've already talked about capitalism and some notions of us being commodities at a period. So the need is that in our communities, and I'll use this example, we talk about in fun terms, we talk about Black Wall Street and the other more than 100 communities of business excellence that we created coming out of servitude or chattel slavery in this country. And we talk about them fondly because those were times when we controlled the economics of the community and we fared better. But not only did we fare better economically, we fared better psychologically and spiritually as well, because we were in a community, in a container, in an environment where we were self-affirming. We were supportive of each other. And so the basic instinct of every self-defined group is to be, to the extent possible, in charge of the social life. And at the base of being in charge of the social life is being in charge or in control of the economics. So when Africans in America, when we say Black Lives Matter, or when we say self-determination or Black Power, or when we use any term to describe our aspirations to be better taken care of, better positioned so that we don't suffer the ill effects of somebody else's design, even though we don't say it, there's an economic component to all of it. The civil rights movement, economics was at the center of it. The Black Power movement, civil economics, was at the center of it. The Pan-African nationalist movement, economics is always at the center. And one of the things we have not been as sharp as we could be and as sharp as we must be is those systems of economic activity practiced by ourselves, such that we would lay in place patterns of exchange and economic activity, such that more and more of the resources at our disposal would stay in service to ourselves, as opposed to quickly moving away from us and into the hands of other communities who would use those resources and other designs to keep us marginalized. And so the need is for power overall. It's for social power. But in Ulu, we understand and appreciate that there are brothers and sisters out there that are focused on electoral politics, and they do an excellent job. There are other brothers and sisters who are focus on any number of other areas of healing, of spiritual awakening, and any number of areas, and we are thankful for them, and they do an excellent job. In Ulu, we prefer to focus only and primarily on developing and perfecting and growing an economic model that incrementally allows us to gain greater and greater and greater control of the economics of our community and bring into creative existence those environments that we would call 21st century Black Wall Street. And mm-hmm. with the system that we are perfecting, it's an exact prescription or method by which you create those beloved communities again, not only isolated, but connected one to the other across the waters and across the ages, because we want to build them and be in place for future generations as well. So when we talk about freedom, when we talk about liberation, and we talk about anything that's in that vein, there's an economic component to it, and I think brothers and sisters listening to us would agree to that truism. And so the reason we do it and the need is to address what is currently still in the case, as our degree of powerlessness, I can't say the word, but lack of power and lack of control over the society, the Black society, the family, and the communities that we live in and aspire to build.
And makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. Makes perfect sense to me. What we're talking about is we're talking about power and being able to take care of ourselves. So, all right. Thank you, Baba Hakima. We're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other benefits of family-centered economics. With you again. Thank you for staying with us. You are listening to Dare to Win. Dare to Win. This is the regular Thursday night broadcast for the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative. We're here with you from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday. And our subject this evening, what is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? And our guest this evening leading us through a really very educational and detailed explanation of this subject. Baba Hakima Kinyama, one of the original founding members of Us Lifting Us and currently elder advisor to the board of Us Lifting Us. So let's go ahead and get back into this discussion, Baba Hakima. I just want to remind our listening audience that if you'd like to join the conversation, 929-477-2789, press the number 1 on your keypad and we'll know that you would like to ask a question or make a comment, or you can go to www.usliftingus.com, click on the Lulu Radio tab, and then click on Listen Live to listen along with us. So moving a little bit further, Baba Hakima, let's get a little deeper into this. And you had started to mention what some of the benefits of this particular model, this family-centered economic model, might be. So I'm going to ask you if you would continue on and give us some real details around what are some of the benefits of this particular family-centered economic model.
Well, thank you. I kind of want to start off my answer to that question with maybe what would be a shocker. You know, back in the 60s, to get someone to be plain and simple and straightforward, we would encourage them to move from spook estate to real estate. So some of the things we've been talking about, I guess, for some of the brothers and sisters may be spook estate. We're talking about theory. But in terms of real estate, essentially what we're talking about is an economic or business platform, because ULU is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Its members are partners of a limited liability company. We put in equity, we put in sweat, we put in ideas, and we are building a business platform that's global. And as that business platform grows, matures, and extends, it essentially is a tool of national liberation. It comes into being, this business model, as a tool of national liberation, much the way that the economic aspects of the Garvey movement were intended to be tools of national liberation, whether it was the factories, whether it was the retail establishment, whether it was logistics or transports, the shipping, and the other plans for other things that would occur. So for brothers and sisters that are listening, even though we talk about family-centered economics as opposed to individually-centered economics and some other kind of esoteric things, ultimately we're talking about building a global business institution. At the base, its members and partners around the world, but ultimately the hundreds and maybe thousands of individually businesses that we will own, providing goods and services to our people. And one of the benefits, of course, will be the creation of jobs, of employment, of quasi opportunities in our factories, in our stores, administration. You know, when we look at some of the other co-ops in the world, you know, some of them, and we will have them as well, banks or other financial institutions, schools, universities, retail outlets, research laboratories, whatever aspects of the conglomerate develops, in all of those situations, there will be people who will be employed with good paying jobs, and not only good paying jobs or what we would call employment or meaningful work, but in an environment that's democratically controlled. We live in the, those of us in the U.S. and in some other countries, we value what is generally referred to as political democracy, one person, one vote. But when we go into the economic arena, we're dealing with a dictatorship. We don't have a vote.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any say-so. And very often we're in a situation where the difference between the lowest paid worker and the top paid agent or shareholder or executive can be as much as 300, 400 times what the bottom salary is. And in Ulu, we have established a 1-7 ratio. So what we look forward to is that the highest paid person in Ulu would never be paid more than 7 times what the lowest person is paid. And that shrinked income distribution ratio means that in Ulu there is not the top person earning millions and the bottom person's not even having a living wage. As a matter of fact, in Ulu, there is no hierarchy at the top taking the profits. And, you know, it's a co-op. It's a co-op. So some of the benefits, of course, we intend to create tens of thousands and eventually hundreds of thousands of new jobs supporting families in communities wherever we exist on the planet. We also, in terms of our business platform, we will and we do intentionally seek out members of the family to do business with, other black-owned businesses, mm-hmm. entrepreneurs, black institutions. So we see Ulu as stimulating additional economic activity in the communities where we place our businesses, and we want to create an even greater synergy in terms of what not only Ulu members do, but what we do in general with the resources we have at hand. We have literally hundreds, if not thousands, of black economic empowerment institutions. Most of them are very small. They may be online, but some of them in communities where you have, flash mobs that go to this business and support this business, or different kinds of campaign. We want to elevate that campaign and bring back into vogue us marching those dollars into those businesses that we own and control, but also to create the reciprocal attitude on the part of those businesses that their dollars would have sense as well, that they do business with other black businesses and support community so that we have a greater opportunity. So some of the benefits in addition to what we do with our own businesses and create jobs for ourselves, but we want to stimulate and stir additional economic activity in our community. And one of our major projects, the Us Lift and Us Market and Exchange, or what we call for short the Ulu Marts, which will be fairly large marketplaces, not only would we bring those online and place them in communities, but most of the activity inside of the marketplace would not be controlled by Ulu. It's just that we're making space available for merchants mm-hmm. and for organizations and institutions who have products, goods, and services to offer our people a friendly, inviting atmosphere for them to set up shop, so to speak. And so, again, part of the benefits, major benefits, is to stimulate additional business activity in the community. One of the benefits that we don't often talk about, but I want to give special emphasis to it now, is that there's a thing that happens right now in our community. It's subtle. We're giving life, new life. We're bringing, we're giving new birth, bringing children into existence and raising them. And in almost every scenario, we are confronted with having to let our little ones know fairly early that your mother and your father, your grandmother and your grandfather, and your aunts and your uncles, we're really not in control of the community. We're not in control of what happens. We even have to train our young to do things to protect themselves and not get in trouble. How blessed would it be if, in fact, we dominated the culture from an economic and cultural standpoint? We dominated the life of the community such that that young person, when they strutted in their community, held their head high, their chest out, and had a stroll, knowing that their parents, their grandparents, their people like them, the church, the barbershop, the factory down the street, all of that, all of us were in some relationship with each other such that that community knew of itself, as if we had to put a title on it, as Little Africa or Little, even if we call it New 21st Century Wall Street or whatever name we gave it. But more importantly, that people around the planet knew that when they came to this environment, that this is an environment that's dominated, not totally controlled, but dominated economically and culturally by the people who live there, as mm-hmm. opposed to being dominated by others. The benefit of dignity and self-worth, that spiritual, that psychological benefit that comes from being in charge of your station, in charge of your condition, is a benefit that we discount. It said that one of the strongest human emotional needs is recognition and praise. And so what I'm talking about is akin to that, is this psychological need to know that you are not at the mercy of others, and certainly to know that you're not at the mercy of others every day of your life, and that
mm-hmm.
new life that you bring into existence is not also at the mercy of others, especially when it's understood that maltreatment comes along with that as well. So those are some of the benefits.
Those are major, particularly the dignity and self-worth and self-respect
that
you mentioned.
You
can't put a price tag on that.
I say.
Not at all. So, well, you know, Baba Hakima, we're going to start winding down here, and this has certainly been enlightening, educational, eye-opening, energizing to have this knowledge and this information about family-centered economics, and to know that that it is a very specific model that Ulu has developed and that Ulu is using. So to help us wind this up, Baba Hakima, talk to us about Ujamaa, or family-centered economics, in the context of what's happening around the globe and in the context of the circumstances that we find ourselves in currently, as it might relate to what we're referring to as the pandemic and the whole shutdown environment that we're having to learn to deal with. How do you see the whole family-centered economics within that context or that world view?
Yeah, well, generally speaking, it's fairly well known that that the Western economic model is in crisis. It goes through crisis from time to time anyway. But maybe the crisis it's in today may be considered a major crisis, because unlike in most of my lifetime, it has a serious competitor in China. That's no joke. But the other thing I want to point to is that in community after community, Canada is a good example. There's certain cities in the U.S., Argentina, France, Spain, almost every country that you can think of, there are major experiments going on as it relates to giving birth to new economic models. The whole planet knows it's time for a new model to emerge. The income disparities associated with capitalism is just mind-boggling, where you could get 2, 3, 4, 5 individuals that earn whose worth is as much as, you know, some billions of people combined. And so Ulu is in tandem with and joins spiritually with other people in all countries, European countries, Asian countries, Central and South American countries, that are involved in quickly, soberly, and with resources, coming up with other models. But one of the things we know about the African and America, and the world knows about us as well, is that we are a uniquely talented people. And I'm thinking that the model that we come up with that speaks to our needs will not only position us to exercise power and authority more effectively and forcefully than we have in the past, but will also be an inspiration for other people and groupings around the world. As I mentioned to you a little earlier, when the automobile came into existence, it wasn't that Henry Ford or whoever was with him was any more astute or had any necessary advantages over the thousands of other people in the world who knew that it was time for a horseless carriage to come into existence. It was time for something other than the horse and buggy to come into existence. Henry Ford and the people with him may have been uniquely positioned to take advantage of an idea whose time has come. And so we're living in the midst of a time when a lot of people on the planet are looking forward to new economic models. And not only are the models much the way that we would look at the Ulu model, but people are dealing with alternative currencies, barter and trade networks, and some of these are not small. Some of these are huge. In Switzerland, for instance, there's a barter and trade system called VIR that almost every business in the economy participates in, and they do commerce with each other, not using the Swiss franc or whatever their currency is called. And so, again, Ulu comes at a time and in a space where the human family is looking for more humane, effective models, not only for people, but also for the planet and the cosmos.
Wow. Thank you so much, Baba Hakima. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that that worldview, that world perspective. It certainly helps to put everything in perspective, knowing that this changing of economic model, moving from capitalism to other models that are more humanistic, that provide ways for all people to thrive, this is not something that's specific to us on this continent, that it's happening all around the globe. And some of what we're seeing going on right now could very well be connected to making that change happen. So thank you so much for being with us and for sharing this subject with us this evening. What is family-centered economics and what are the benefits? And thank you to our listening audience for being with us as well. One last thing before we sign off, just want to remind any of our Us Lifting Us members that might be listening in that the Ulu Academy will be launched the first week in August. Please watch your email for the announcements. And do partake in the Ulu Academy so that you can learn more specifics about the family-centered economics and much more about Us Lifting Us and what's going on inside of Us Lifting Us. Peace and love, everyone.
Take care.
Good night.
Peace.
Peace.
They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby. Ooh. They say I'm bugging, the way I'm time sweating your loving. Ooh. They all sit and wonder why this feeling I cannot.